Yo, yo, yo. Thanks for listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. Upgrade to a new Chevrolet with new safety and technology features, lower maintenance for the same or better payment, only at Lakewood Chev. Click on the icon right here on the website. Rashog, the Oilers are going back to the dance. The Sharks are the opposition, and it was close. You and I were sitting in the press box last night watching the Kings Anaheim Ducks game, and the Kings had that lead until 8 minutes left, and then Anaheim tied it, got the point, and then ultimately ended up winning in overtime. But the, you know, the Kings were close there, where we could have had a battle of Alberta. Would you have preferred, from a, let's say, just from a straight Oilers perspective on the ice, do you think San Jose or Calgary is a better matchup?
Well, I think the answer to that question lies a little bit with the health of Joe Thornton and Logan Couture. I think I'm leaning more towards San Jose as the better matchup for the Oilers, because they've had, I mean, I know they beat the Flames in all the games they played against them this season. Off, they fell out of top spot in the division. They were in a bit of a spiral. Their better players are banged up right now, and the Oilers have beat them a couple of times here late in the season in their last three meetings against them. So, I really like, for the Oilers, what the head-to-head matchup looks like. I mean, from a McDavid standpoint, he's going to see, like, Mark Edward Vlasic and Justin Braun. Todd McClellan's going to be happy to just let that matchup happen. He's not going to have to try and short shift or you can jive around a matchup where McDavid is concerned. McDavid has gotten the better of that matchup all year long. I just think it's a better matchup, especially if Thornton and Couture are at 75 or 80% or whatever they're going to be at.
Eric Greiba, Matt Benning, Darnell Nurse, which two start game one in the third pair?
I'm not sure. I mean, it'll assume Nurse is healthy and good to go. I'm going to say that it'll be Nurse and Benning. I think there's a reason that Peter Chiarelli didn't go out and get some veteran defensemen to help shore up his lineup. I think there's a reason why he's left these players in the position they're in. I think he wants to get them the experience. I think that, I mean, they didn't go after Ron Hainsey or any of the, you know, there's some depth defensemen that were out there to try and shore things up. They wanted these players to have this experience. And I think Benning is very much in the future plans for this team. I'm not sure that Greiba is. Their play has been similar, a little bit up and down. I'm not saying it wouldn't be a big deal either way. I'm kind of just guessing, but let's say Benning.
Now, what about the fourth line right wing position? Or even the third line? Like, do you think the bottom six, we saw it mixed up a little bit, is the Letestu, Cassian, Kajula line now the third line?
Letestu, Cassie, and Kajula. Yeah, I mean, it could be, essentially. Basically, you have two fourth lines the way it's set up. I mean, I thought Hendricks was pretty good. He was, you know, I thought he was physical and had decent energy. I think Slepyshev probably has the advantage. I think he a little bit more speed, well, quite a bit more speed, some offensive touch. I could see them going in that direction. But, yeah, when they mix up those lines a little bit, it definitely has more of the look of two fourth lines as opposed to a third and a fourth line.
Yeah, and obviously both of them are going to have to be big. Like, Benoit Pouliot's one of those bottom six forwards that you would expect contributions from. And Cassian, as long as he doesn't get goals disallowed that he's a part of, he should be able to chip in. Like, I think that's 5 points now he lost this season due to goals called back on review.
Yeah, well, that's tough. I mean, I think his play has maybe dipped a little bit. I think, but once the playoffs start, I think he'll get back to fast, hitting hard, get back to that level he was at when we were talking about. Not necessarily production wise. We'll see what he can do. But there's been a little bit of a dip for him. We'll see what combinations McClellan decides to go with. If he goes Kajula on the left side, like, I thought Drake Kajula played really well in Maroon's spot. Thought he skated well. There's definitely something there if he can just find some level of consistency. But Cassian, to me, is going to be an important.
Ryan Schaug from TSN joins us. Oilers taking on the San Jose Sharks Wednesday, 8 o'clock start, Friday, 8:30 start. Then they're into San Jose on Tuesday and, or sorry, Sunday and Tuesday, then following Thursday back here in Edmonton. For all of you who are planning your schedules in game six, if necessary, will be in San Jose on the following Saturday.
It's great. And no 2 day breaks between games, which usually just slows a series down. I think it's just the day between each game, isn't it?
Oh, it's way better. The St. Louis Minnesota series, garbage. They've got they play game three, then they have 2 days off, play game four, 2 days off, play game five. Like that's you know, one game in 5 days in the Stanley Cup playoffs is not ideal for players, and I don't think it's ideal for building any sort of excitement into any series. Looking at the Ducks, we saw them last night. Were able to beat the LA Kings. The Calgary Flames have not won there in 25 games. Now, someone will say, hey, you're due, and eventually you're going to, the odds are in your favor. Like, hey, the Oilers were a terrible team for a decade. They found ways to win at least one game, you know, over a span of 10 years in some of these buildings. If you're the Flame players, I think they actually go into Anaheim feeling pretty good about themselves because, you know what, you're bound to win at some point.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose, but there's just something about, and we watched the Oilers struggle through that with a number of different organizations. It just, for whatever reason, when they went there, they just could never harvest anything worthwhile. It just, they were constantly coming up on the short end. And I think it does play into their heads a little bit. If it happens enough, you'd have to think that it would. Once they get the first one, that'll be a big deal. That'll be a big deal for them. But marching into a building series against a division winner, in a building you haven't won in that long, you lose the first one. I think they're in danger of things starting to tighten up a little bit. So we'll see. I mean, all it takes is once, and then that whole storyline is gone. Whether they can march in there and do it on the first game of the playoffs, I'm not sure. That's a tall order in a building against a blue line that is a real solid blue line. I don't know that it's nothing. I think it is a bit of a mental edge.
Now let's go back to the Oilers and the San Jose Sharks and talk specifically about the Sharks' top four defense. Is that the area that concerns you most about San Jose that Edmonton's going to have the biggest challenge with, or is there something else?
Well, no. I mean, I think McDavid can, like, no two players this year against Connor McDavid. And Marc-Edward Vlasic and Justin Braun. Vlasic was about 59 minutes. Braun was about 54 or 5 against McDavid. That is what the Sharks want to do. That's their pairing to face with McDavid. I believe he's going to dominate that matchup. I think he's going to produce. So then you've got the Nugent Hopkins line out there against Burns. And I mean, we'll see how they do against them. They've been playing really well, Nugent Hopkins line. They've started to generate with some consistency. Eberle had a fantastic finish, which is great for the Oilers. I'm honestly fine with the way the Oilers' top two lines match up against the Sharks' top 4D. I really am, because I believe Pete DeBoer is going to continue to chase that matchup with Vlasic. And if you're Todd McClellan, man, you're happy to just let that roll. Connor McDavid can win that matchup. Vlasic is a good defenseman, but of the Doughties and some of these guys that have a chance to keep McDavid quiet. I think he's going to chew those guys up.
You mentioned the Eberle, Lucic, Nugent Hopkins line. And down the stretch here in the last 20 games, Milan Lucic has 11 goals. Jordan Eberle has 8 goals and 15 points. That production from your second line is outstanding over the course of any season. The fact that it's come at the most important time of the year, what do you think it means for them? And have you seen signs that Eberle's offensive confidence is returning?
Well, yeah. I mean, that was a sign last night that his offensive confidence is returning. He's picking corners. He's sniping. He wants the puck on his stick all the time right now. Yeah, he's showing a lot of confidence in his game. I think it's pretty evident that he's feeling it. It was a garbage year for most of it. Just one of those throwaway years of frustration. Now, they had enough offense in other places that he could have a down year, and then now he's still got an opportunity in the playoffs. But he finished strong. These were important games. He was a good contributor. The coach will tell you that his defensive play has gotten better, and along with that, his offensive game has come along. So really, really, really positive signs for Jordan Eberle and for the Oilers in their secondary scoring. To me, Milan Lucic has been the best player on that line for some time now. He's really, really moving well. He's playing with all kinds of intensity, all kinds of – he's not a fast player, but there's speed in his game. There's power in it every shift. I think Lucic has made the biggest difference for that line.
Well, it's not just the goals he's scoring. It's, you know, his physical attributes, manhandling guys at different places on the ice. And obviously that will be huge for this team. So let's look at matchups then from Edmonton's defense. And Sekera and Russell and Klefbom and Larson, it's been pretty even as far as how many minutes they've played against other teams' top lines. When you look at the now, I guess maybe it's depending on which line has what. But with Joe Thornton being banged up, obviously, and even if he plays, I don't think there's any chance he's 100%. Right? I'll be stunned. So you have Joe Pavelski as your number one center. I have no idea right now who are going to be his wingers. Last time he played with Carlson and LeBanc. And I'm sorry, neither one of those guys resonate for me, top line wingers. So which line do you put Klefbom and Larson against? Do you put them against Marlowe or do you put them against Pavelski?
I don't think Tom McClellan's going to stress too much about trying to get a hard match. I think he's fine against either of those top two lines. I really do. There's one thing that's been happening with his D-core lately. I think it's a little bit of a flag, and it has to do with maybe how they'll match up. He's gravitated away from his third pairing a little bit. Like, you look at Klefbom's minutes, the last chunk of games, he's playing a pile of minutes. Even in the basically the last half of that game, which was mean nothing at the time, Klefbom still played 24 or something in that game. Nurse and Benning, some of the reliability and the quality of their game has seeped off a little bit. And I think McClellan has shied away from, the number of minutes and opportunity those guys have been given. And I think that's going to be exacerbated in the playoffs. I think he'll even do more of that in the playoffs. So can Oscar Klefbom handle playoff caliber hockey? I'm not sure.
Chugger?
I think he's gonna try and use both of those pairings against those top two lines.
Okay, we're into playoff mode. Get your phone fixed. So that'll be a fine by tomorrow if your phone keeps cutting out because it's cut out like six times. I have no idea where maybe it's your cell phone signal or what have you, but you'll be getting a better phone for tomorrow's
hit. I got full bars.
Yeah, well, it's you go back and listen to the interview and it's cut out like six times and there it just sounded like there was an explosion for a brief moment. I have no idea what happened.
Sorry about that.
Buddy, it's all good. It's all good. Don't worry, we'll make it up to you. We have a fun poster coming out in about a month's time that you'll enjoy.
Oh no!
Yeah, you're gonna like it. It's kind of like a. Oh, and by the way, hey, happy belated surprise birthday on Friday.
Yeah, thanks, man. Really appreciate you tweeting a picture of me when I was seven.
Well, I didn't know you were such a big fan of Michael Jackson.
Who wasn't back then?
It's true though, but that was a pretty sweet Michael Jackson sweater that you used for school pictures though. I loved it. So. Well, Shogar, happy. Technically you're not 40 yet, so that was a good surprise by your wife because you had no idea.
Yeah.
And I was happy for you. You didn't start crying when you saw everybody there, so that was good. And
completely shocked and stunned. But it was a good time, man. We had a good rocking time. That's the way you're supposed to bring in 40.
It's true. It's very true. I was excited that you were in better shape than Gene the day after his 50th.
No comment on my network counterpart.
Hey, Gene manned up, though.
I don't tell tales out of school.
I didn't tell a tale. There was just a video. I didn't have to say anything. Right? Which is, and you know what? You and Gene should be role models for all the Oilers fans who have been without the playoffs for a decade, right? Mm-hmm. And you and Gene are a decade apart. And for Gene, you know, he never really parties for a decade. Then he partied his 50th, but he showed up the next day. So for all the fans who are 18 to 28 who are going through their first ever playoff game in Edmonton, either in person or out at a bar and on the rocks or wherever they're going, make sure they show up on Thursday, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I even put together another night on Saturday. So I went back to back and then showed up for work yesterday. So there you go.
Nice. That's good. Good work. Get some water, hydrate, and fix your phone. And we'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you, bud.
Ryan Rashog from TSN. Yeah, he was floored. Absolutely stunned. His wife, or his fiance, excuse me, Randy, did a great job of surprising him on Friday.